tried the pill, but who can be bothered remembering to take all those things?
If you want to prevent pregnancy, talk to your doctor about new prescription-strength abstinence. Abstinence is the only method of contraception that has been medically proven to prevent pregnancy, because, unlike surface treatments, abstinence gets directly into the bloodstream to deactivate the pleasure sensors in the brain, making you unable to feel anything.
Inform your doctor about any pre-existing conditions, such as blurry vision or hairy palms. Also, tell your doctor about any other medications you may be taking. Abstinence, taken in conjunction with certain other drugs, such as Viagra or Cialis, may result in spontaneous combustion. Women who are pregnant or plan to become pregnant should not bother with abstinence. Users should not operate heavy machinery or watch The Notebook while taking abstinence.
Virgin birth, a rare but serious side effect, occurred in less than 0.1% of patients on abstinence. Tell your doctor immediately if you are visited by angels, become blessed among women, or are drawn to bright lights in the sky. Other side effects reported were generally mild and may include headache, nausea, vomiting, nervousness, seizures, hair loss, weight gain, ocular swelling, ear infection, nosebleeds, unusual heart rhythms, depressive episodes, antisocial behavior, clinical catatonic disorder, hypomania, gender irrelevancy, Brett Favre syndrome, difficulty swallowing, foot and mouth disease, painful urination, abnormal vaginal discharge, hemorrhoids, jock itch, robin's eggs, and arthritis. These side effects may be worse among teens, Catholics, and congressmen.
This is Infants on Thrones. The philosophies of men mingled with humor. We are the core.
I remember in school one time, I had a teacher who was talking about, about abstinence. And she said, imagine you're a stick of gum. And when you engage in sex, that's like getting chewed. And then if you do that lots of times, you're going to become an old piece of gum. And who's going to want you after that? For me, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm that chewed up piece of gum. And that's how easily it is to feel like you no longer have worth. You no longer have value. Why would it even be worth screaming out? Why would it even make a difference if you are rescued? Your life still has no value.
That was Elizabeth Smart speaking last week at Johns Hopkins University about how abstinence-only education made her reluctant to come forward during her nine-month abduction. Currently, of the 37 states that require abstinence to be a part of sex education, 26 of those states require students be taught that abstinence is the best method to prevent pregnancy, even when the research shows us that abstinence-only education doesn't work. A 2011 study from the University of Georgia analyzed pregnancy and birth data from 48 states in order to evaluate the effectiveness of those states' sex education policies. And the study found that even when you control for socioeconomic status, education, ethnicity, access to health care, abstinence-only education does not necessarily result in abstinent behavior. The researchers concluded that, quote, abstinence-only education is a state policy, is ineffective in preventing teenage pregnancy, and may actually be contributing to the high teenage pregnancy rates in the U.S. Shelby, I want to go to you on this, because I know this has been your work. That commentary by Elizabeth Smart was just gut-wrenching to hear how that actually made it easier for her to be victimized.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's not uncommon. For me, it was we were dirty toothbrushes. Mm. I have seen a warm cup of spit and a thorny rose with no petals. And the problem here is that this abstinence-only sex education is telling young women that their only worth is sexual.
Right.
And then not giving them the information to be empowered sexual beings, which I think would be the goal. I mean, we don't want to talk about our kids having sex, right? But like, right. The whole society's goal is for everyone to grow up to be a sexually functional, happy, responsible adult.
Right.
But these young people are being told, my worth is that I'm a sexual thing and I'm going to be used, and if I'm used, no one will want me. On the contrary, young men are actually being told, I am a predator. I can steal a young woman's worth. These feelings that I have make me a bad person. Rather than being taught how not to be a predator, actually, how to deal with these sexual urges, how to negotiate consent.
Right.
Abstinence rocks.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones. I'm Glenn Ostlund, and today's discussion is a pretty sensitive one for me, actually. It's one that I recorded over a month ago, and I've debated whether or not to release it, And I've wondered how exactly I should even approach the material, because on the one hand, it's sort of ridiculous, you know, the scare tactics that are used in abstinence-only education. But on the other hand, the stakes are actually pretty high in these kinds of decisions, and there are very real consequences that can come from kids having sex before they're ready. And being ready isn't a light decision for anyone to make. So, let me set the stage for you. A few months ago, towards the end of May, one of our listeners sent me an abstinence contract that her daughter's friend had been given for a high school assignment. She and a few others were pretty outraged by the assignment, thinking that this Utah high school teacher was crossing the line and bringing her religious values into the classroom. So I took this contract and I read it to my two oldest daughters, Shaylee, who is 18 and getting ready for her freshman year at college in the fall, and Emma, who turns 15 in a couple days, actually, and is getting ready to start her freshman year of high school. Now, this is the question that I had in my mind the whole time. How in the world is a father supposed to broach a subject like this with his daughters? Especially when he has essentially left religion behind and no longer has the pseudo-authority of God or prophets or scriptures to back up what he says. Now, I don't have the answer to that question. I don't know if I did a very good job having this conversation with my girls or not. All I know is that these two girls are two of the most important people in the world to me. And I want them to feel comfortable talking about these kinds of things, but mostly I want them to feel confident, and I want them to be fully informed. And yeah, sure, I want them to be abstinent for as long as humanly possible. But I want them to be safe from harm, safe from abuse, safe from disease, and safe from unexpected pregnancies. So how to do that without all the scare tactics? Well, I'm sharing this with you today not as a way of saying, hey, look, everybody, I've got this totally figured out. Here's the way you should talk about this stuff with your kids. No, that's not my intention. Instead, I'm sharing this with you primarily for the sake of those fathers and mothers out there who haven't had these conversations yet with their kids and maybe haven't even been forced to think about how you're going to do it yet. So you can listen to this conversation and you can judge it and you can take away whatever you think is good and make note of whatever you think is not so good. And you can start thinking about how you'll talk to your own kids about these kinds of things. Because it's not easy, but it's super important. So, as you're about to hear, it started off a little goofy, joking, but I quickly tried to turn it from, hey, you guys, this is all a joke, to, you know, there's actually some serious things here that we need to consider. And hopefully I did a good job talking to them about it, but who knows? You be the judge.
Yay!
It's an abstinent contract. Abstinence. Oh, it's an ence, not ance. So.
Nance.
Yeah. You said s.
Shh. I said c the first time.
Okay.
But then you.
All right. Changed. So here's the assignment, girls. Directions. Use the following list to complete your abstinence contract. Do you want to write this down?
No. Can I write it down on my iPod?
Yeah.
Cool beans.
Okay. So Emma, you said that you actually did an abstinence contract when you were in sixth grade?
Yeah.
I think I've done one for church before, but...
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, I think in Japan I did one for church.
You would have been like in...
I would have been like
7th
12.
7th or 8th grade.
13?
No, 7th grade, because we left
seventh grade.
In 7th grade.
Yeah.
So, like, what is that all about? How does that make you guys feel... Or, I'm sorry, girls. How does that make you girls feel?
Whatever.
I'm trying not to be sexist.
I
don't
want to
be sexist yet.
Guys is totally a gender-neutral term.
Okay.
But, I don't know. I think it's stupid. Because I think teaching... I guess if you're teaching abstinence along with other stuff, it's not as stupid. But, like, abstinence-only teaching is really stupid because then... If people decide that they are ready and that they want to do that, then they don't have the proper knowledge that they could, and they could get into trouble with that.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, having sixth graders fill out an abstinence form, I think that's kind of ridiculous.
Why?
I don't think that many sixth graders are looking to hook up with anyone anytime soon. And if they are...
Yeah.
I mean, that's their decision.
Sure, but I mean, they're young enough to not be curious and they're old enough to have it guilt them later if they wrote the contract.
Yeah, because it's more so that when they're in their teen years, they'll go, oh, I made this promise that I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You still think that that's okay?
I mean, it depends on different people, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, when people are ready, they're ready. But, I mean, they should have proper knowledge.
But it's not like an 8-year-old who's totally prepared and mature to make the decision of baptism. It's going to be a promise that they keep forever.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so here are the directions. Number one, carefully read through the following list and circle any statements that stick out to you personally.
Already.
It's just like, so stupid.
Okay, and I misread it. That's probably why you were laughing.
Uh-oh.
Circle any statements that stick out to you or personally apply to you or are important to you. Okay, so do you remember? That's really clear directions.
Yeah, okay.
There's a lot of ors. What are they? Should you circle?
If they stick out to you.
Or
if they are personally applicable or something like that.
But, or
if they're important to you.
Or if they're important to you.
Yeah.
Which, kind of similar things.
It's an awesome 3 pattern.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right?
Okay, so number 2.
Right?
Choose at least 5 that are your favorite or most important to include in your abstinence contract. Okay, number 3.
That makes it sound like they're already assuming that this is something that you've been thinking about.
Oh, well, it's an assignment. It's homework. Well, you're going to fill out an abstinence contract.
Yeah.
Or you get a 0 on the project.
But, Dad, what if I like more than 5?
Well, you can.
My abstinence.
That's why it said at least 5.
At least 5.
Yeah, you can have them all. Okay? But here's number 3. We haven't finished the instructions yet, so you're jumping the gun. So, number 3, write the 5 or more statements neatly, in all caps, on your abstinence contract. And in number 2, abstinence contract was capitalized, but in number 3, it's not. So, they're not even being consistent.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. Number 4, sign the contract and bring it to next class period. Okay.
Jeez.
Here we go. Ready? Gosh. 10th grade. Okay?
Okay.
Ouch.
Number 1. I refuse to use others for my physical needs.
Well, that's suggesting a lot of things.
Wait. But what do they feel? This is the second time I've talked about masturbation on this podcast. What do they feel about using yourself? Is that not on there?
Yeah, it's kind of.
It says others.
Right. Abstinence. Abstinence. They're talking about sexual relations with other people,
but
not private. Yourself.
That totally insinuates that private isn't. I don't know.
That's not covered under the abstinence. They're not trying to keep you to stop it. That's the next homework, or maybe it was the assignment.
Previous.
Yeah, previous. I don't know. But this one's just with other people, okay?
And this is just like in a normal school class, right? Like a
high school.
Class.
Yeah.
High school. Yeah.
Well, yeah. 10th grade. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, when you're younger, it's always keep your hands to yourself, but in some cases, it's not the same.
Yeah. All
right. Right.
So I want you guys to keep track because I'm going to ask you at the end which 5 you picked. Okay.
Oh. Getting out.
Can you write them down?
Lame. You do it.
I'll let you look at them again after the end. Okay.
That works.
So number one.
Repeat the wording.
Number 1, I refuse to use others for my physical needs. Okay. Number 2.
Needs like that. That's a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2. I refuse to be used by someone else to satisfy his or her physical needs. What do you think about that?
It just seems really passive. Like you're just kind of like passively sitting there. I don't know.
But the verb that they're using is to be used.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean to you guys?
It does definitely have a negative connotation.
Yeah.
Because it's not like. It just feels dirty. Like,
yeah. It feels like, I mean, it's not something that you would want to do in the first place. So.
Yeah, or yeah, like some, somebody's just used, using you.
Yeah, yeah. So,
right.
Yeah.
Or you're using someone else.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, I think those are good messages.
Yeah.
You shouldn't use other people or have other people use you, and you need to be strong and...
Yeah.
You know? Right?
Yeah.
Okay, number three. I refuse to risk getting pregnant or getting a girl pregnant.
So, I mean, condoms are a thing.
Yeah, that doesn't talk about contraception. I mean...
Yeah.
But even with a condom, there's a risk. It's not 100%.
Yeah.
So this is saying that I refuse to even take any risk. Okay?
I feel like... How many are these? How many are there?
28.
Okay, that's going to be spread thin, because if it's already saying... I don't know. Like, how many acts can you... cover and I'm just not gonna like it's already been like, okay, no using other people, you can't be used, and no pregnancy. Like, that's kind of it.
I don't know.
This is gonna be interesting. This
okay.
is gonna be fun.
All right. Number four. I refuse to allow what peers say or think influence my decision to be sexually abstinent.
That's a decent one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd circle that.
Okay. Number five. I refuse to put my ability to have children at risk.
Like,
what?
Abortion? Is it getting to that part? Or is it getting to, like, birth control pills that they don't think is actually clinically safe, even though they are? Like, what is that trying to get at?
I think it's leaving it open for all of those things. Like, any kind of risk. Whether it's an abortion, or whether it's an STD, or whatever.
I didn't think about that, yeah.
Whatever else might happen.
Yeah.
That would put your ability to have children at risk. Okay?
Yeah.
Number six, I refuse to live through the trauma of an abortion.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, that's someone's personal decision.
Trauma's just a poop word to use for that. Whatever.
Really?
Yeah, like, I personally don't think that I would be able to have an abortion if, like, that came up, but, I mean, don't call it a trauma. Like,
I mean, some people will definitely go through that kind of trauma, though, like, emotionally speaking, but...
Like, yeah, like they will, but trauma is just, like... I don't know.
Well,
I feel like that's far too dramatic, and it's definitely trying to make it seem a lot worse than it actually is, because, again, it's leaving it, it's giving it the negative connotation, and, like, when you think of trauma, you think of, you know, like, PTSD, and, like, shaking, and frothing at the mouth, and that kind of stuff. Like, that's what you think when you think trauma. You don't think, oh, this is, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just think it's... shit word to use there.
I don't know. I mean, like, abortion is a choice that people can make. Like, it's their own personal decision. So I think that calling it a trauma, I mean, like, that doesn't apply to everyone. And, like, some people could be totally fine with having an abortion where others aren't. So I don't know.
So you think it's poisoning the well?
Yeah.
Sure.
Poisoning the well is an expression that means that it's making... abortion seem like any situation is going to be bad.
Like,
any situation is going to have trauma.
For any, like, every single case
okay.
that
All right.
you come across.
Number seven, I refuse to live through the heartache of putting my child up for adoption.
Oh, come on. That's another personal decision. Like, if you don't want to have kids, and if you, like, first of all, if you don't have the means to support a child, or if you do not want to have that child, you should not be forced to raise it, because then that child could, like, be living in a home that's unhappy and that's having issues. So sometimes adoption's better.
Sometimes adoption puts them into homes where they're unhappy, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's still people's decisions, and sometimes... it's better for the child.
So here's why I'm not quite as hard on these questions maybe as people would think, because you know, I think for kids you don't think about these things. So having to at least think about that, oh, there's a possibility that this could happen. Yeah. Can I imagine that? Because it's all about risk. It's a, yeah. it's about like being aware of what the risks are, and you know, especially when you're young and you're not prepared mm-hmm. to take care of a child, where either abortion or adoption are probably likely options. It's important to think about, like,
yeah.
how,
yeah.
And you're right, Emma. I mean, different people respond to it in different ways, but do you know how you are? Do you know how you would respond to it?
And that's true. I mean, it always depends on the person and what their yeah. personal beliefs yeah. are.
And yeah. I definitely agree that it's, like, really good to think about these things, especially like in 10th grade, you know, I mean, even yeah. almost even younger, like, mm-hmm. you know, whenever you're going through that health class phase, I mean, honestly, like, this is going to make me sound like I totally go to a Hickville school, but I mean, I had two friends in 8th grade that got pregnant, two.
In 8th grade?
In 8th grade. Yeah. That, you know, Emma's a little younger than Emma now.
Whoa.
So, and yes, one of them is pregnant with her third child right now, and she's my age. But,
just graduated high school.
Yeah, just graduated. Right. But, like, so I definitely think it's a good thing to be thinking about, but not in an abstinence contract, because it's giving it... It makes it cool when you can't do it. And it makes it...
So, like, the kids don't take abstinent contracts seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they don't yeah. take it seriously. And so having all of this being in an abstinence contract is just like, oh, yeah, well, duh, check, right. circle. And then they don't actually think about it. But having a conversation like we're having right now, or yeah. even just, like, you know, thinking about, like if they had something like a seminar where they were like, okay, these are the risks.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the risks. Right. Let's weigh the risks, yeah. you know, and make sure that you know that you're ready to have right. to go through these risks. Right. Like, if I'm going to start thinking about being sexually active, I'm going right. to have to think, okay, would I be ready to face all of these things yeah. that could very easily happen?
Yeah. Okay. Number 8. I refuse to make my dad a grandfather before he's ready. Okay, I made that one up.
Oh, really?
Okay. I made that one up.
I was going to say.
Okay. I made that one up. But circle it.
Circle it, yeah.
But circle it. Uh-huh. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Number 8, for real. I refuse to feel the emotional harm that comes from premarital sex, guilt and disappointment.
Okay, that's just giving them guilt and disappointment. Shut the frick up. Oh my gosh. Like, what is that? Like, this is what you're going to feel. And so if they decide that they're ready, then they're going to be like, oh wait, should I be feeling guilty and disappointed? Then they're going to feel guilty and disappointed. Yeah. Like, that's stupid.
It's not healthy.
That question?
Well, I mean, I...
So this would be one you wouldn't circle because you would feel it doesn't apply to you, or, you know, you're not... You just kind of reject this question.
Emotional harm. That's what it says. It says emotional harm. Yeah.
Well, but look, whenever we've talked about... What do I focus on when I talk to you guys? Is, like, the emotional side of being in a sexual relationship. You know, like, yeah. it really... Like, you're going through this thing just recently that... You know, it was like a couple that, you know, you went on a date, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then he wanted to be more serious than you wanted to be. And it's hard, you know,
yeah.
and you're not even getting close to what it's like when you start putting sex in the picture. Yeah. I'm looking really closely.
Right? Yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah. yeah. And so, you know, I agree. I mean, I think that the way that the question is phrased, it's a little yeah. heavy-handed, but it's still one of those things that, probably rephrased, it's an important thing to consider.
Yeah. Yeah, rephrased.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
using the words emotional harm. It goes with trauma. Yeah. It goes with the trauma bit. Like,
yeah.
so, like, just pisses me off. Continue.
Okay,
continue.
All right. Number 9, I refuse to lose control of my life, my future goals, or my dreams.
Okay, what is that doing in an abstinence thing?
No, well,
no,
think about your friend that
point.
Is your friend that just graduated high school and has her third child. What were her dreams? What did she want to be when she was 25? What does she want to be when she's 23?
I'm not going to say something mean about that.
Okay, but but I mean, like for you, you know what you want to do. I mean, you kind of flip-flop between a couple of things, but
yeah.
But there's things that you're excited about that if you had to raise a child...
Yeah, but losing control is insinuating that you don't have any. If I decided, that I wanted to be sexually active, like I was saying before, which... But... I would be like, okay, I'm going to go on birth control first. I'm going to wait the allotted time that takes to kick in. Then I'm going to make sure that we're always wearing protection. And maybe even a third level of protection after birth control and condoms, you know. And so losing control insinuates, you know, I'm going to be macking with somebody. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, she's pregnant.
Well, I don't think that's what it really means. And that's maybe where the question isn't worded right.
Yeah.
It's another one of those risking that there's going to be consequences of those actions
yeah.
with pregnancy and the birth of a child that then you have to take care of. And that's where you don't have as many options. Now, it is heavy-handed to say that you totally yeah. lose control, because you still have control.
I feel like all of this has already been stated, so this is just question number scare tactic, you know?
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think that it's a good question to have on there, I feel like. Because, I mean, as much as you need to know consequences about having sex, like, if that's your decision, like, instead of just having an abstinence-only teaching experience, like, I don't know where I'm trying to get with here, but, I mean, I think it's important for people to realize that if they did take part in sexual activity without being prepared for the consequences of that, then they could lose mm-hmm. what they want to do in the future, which...
What do you think they're going to do next week when you're at girls' camp around this? What kind of conversations are they going to have?
Ladies.
Ladies?
Yes, nice. Ladies. Okay. Or young women.
I was your age when President Simmons told me I need to start finding a man
to marry. No, they talk about that. They're like... It's very important to find a righteous husband and marry in the church, and you know, all that stuff. That's nice, but
no. Okay.
But does this question say lose control of your hopes and dreams or something like that?
Like, it says, I refuse to lose control of my life, my future, my... And it should say risk and things
yeah.
like
yeah.
that, but anyway.
It's dramatic,
yeah.
the wording of it.
And also... Again, this is all in going on the if factor. Like, yeah, if there is pregnancy. But also... again, like what I said with the losing control, if you're prepared, there's like a 99.999% chance of actually getting pregnant, you know, with the birth control and with the condom stuff. And like, yeah, there's always a chance that you will, but if you're smart about it, it's not losing control, and it's you know the risks. And so, I don't know. It's just restating yeah. things, and it's just to scare people.
Okay. All right, number 10. I refuse to maintain a relationship that is emotionally harmful to me.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 11 is like it. I refuse to maintain a relationship that is physically harmful to me.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's good.
And that's kind of amazing that they're bringing that up.
But it's not really... It doesn't have to be connected to abstinence.
It doesn't, yeah.
It's just self-respect and...
Like, if this was... Like, I could understand if this was, like, a relationship contract.
Yeah.
And, like, if...
What kind of relationship you're going to
yeah.
have.
Yeah. And, yeah. And so... Yeah. And so... I mean, with all of these questions, that could fit underneath that, like, saying that I want an abstinent relationship or whatever for some of these. But, like, those are really good, and they don't get talked about as much. Like, I don't think through my sex ed class we talked about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Mine did.
Really?
Yeah.
Hopefully they're getting better.
I loved my health teacher. She was awesome.
Okay.
Good discussions.
Number 12. I refuse to lose my self-respect.
That's a good one, too. But, I mean, it depends on what it's talking about as well.
If it's suggesting that if you have sex, you lose
yeah,
your self-respect, then
that's not cool.
But I
think whenever you're in a relationship with someone, you always need to make sure that you have that self-respect and that self-worth so that you're not just in the relationship because you're self-conscious about yourself. You should feel proud about yourself. But, I mean, if they're implying that if you don't say abstinence that you will lose your self-respect, then
yeah.
that's kind of ridiculous.
Like, I could circle that. Mm-hmm. Like thinking about it and how it relates to me personally, you know, I would circle that thinking... Yeah, I wouldn't want to do anything like, I wouldn't want to have sex with someone that I didn't care about, or just be floozy and then, or get drunk at a party or something and then have sex there. Like, I agree that you shouldn't take that sort of thing lightly. And I don't think that, I definitely think that you should think about it first and be prepared for it.
Yeah, just don't think about it too much, girl. Okay, number 13. I refuse to allow my past relationships or experiences prevent me from being sexually abstinent.
Okay, wait, read that one more time.
Yeah, what?
I refuse to allow my past relationships or experiences prevent me from being sexually abstinent.
That seems so like that a means, hard one to follow.
That means if you've, like, done things that you regret and you've kind of pushed the boundaries a little bit, that you'll forgive yourself for it and you won't let that keep you from being absent. Or maybe,
like, oh, I did hand stuff with this guy this one time, so I might as well have sex. Like that kind of thing.
Like, or gymnastics? Like handstands?
Yeah.
Like, like those things. Yeah. Yeah, like that. Or it could mean even that somebody's had sex before,
but they
want to be abstinent from now on. So they're saying, I'm not going to let my past say, well, I'm already ruined, so I might
I would
as well.
I say that's good then.
That's
just
decent.
Because it's
the
because
wording, though.
Well, I mean, it's saying don't create an image for yourself that you feel like you have to follow.
Yeah.
And
That's
like saying, don't just be like, well, I mean, I've already done it, so it's not a big deal. It's always going to be a big deal.
Yeah. Okay, number 14. I refuse to jeopardize my future relationship with my spouse.
What? Is that the entire question?
Statement, yeah.
Statement.
I refuse to jeopardize my future relationship with my spouse.
And you, so, if you had sex with someone, and then you had, that's confusing. I mean, if it's talking about STDs, that's one thing. Like, you wouldn't want to have sex, get an STD, and then...
Right.
It's not.
But...
like, that's not what it means.
But it's talking about abstinence, and, like, you're not jeopardizing your future spouse by having sex with someone.
There was this conversation I had in Young Women's... Oh, maybe I was... It was just after Japan, so maybe 13 or 14. And we were... It was great. It was freshman year, definitely. But we were talking about how they always do, like, if you make bad choices, then the white sock gets dirty and it turns into a black sock, you know. But it was using that same sort of analogy
Racist.
For... it was using that same sort of analogy for... you know, abstinence and being sexually pure when you meet your husband. And I had this Facebook conversation, or I posed the question on Facebook because, you know, I was trying to be cool. And one of my friends, which is funny because we're still good friends now, and he was the one that substitute taught a while back anyway. But so he started talking about it, and he said, well, or it was about shoes. It was, you don't want to buy shoes that
sex
have
shoes.
Already been used. And you wouldn't want to wear shoes that had already been used. And somebody said, well, yeah, but you would want to try on the shoes before you wear them for good, right? And so it was, like, this really funny conversation, but, like, it just... I don't think that jeopardizes your future...
Okay, so I will tell you girls a story about me that you probably don't know.
Oh, fun.
Fun.
You so, just told us about it.
Don't say that.
I can set it up. That was
until,
separate.
Yeah.
That was something different. So, when I was a freshman at BYU, I was dating a girl and found out that she had sex mm-hmm. when she was 17.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and it really, really bugged me.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't deal with it. And I remember we went to a movie called Bird on a Wire with Goldie Hawn and Mel Gibson. And there was a sex scene in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time I'm thinking, I bet right now she's thinking about the guy that she had sex with and...
Mm-hmm.
you know, and here she is sitting with me, but she's thinking about this guy, you know, and like I couldn't deal with it. So to me, when I read a question like this, I refuse to jeopardize my future relationship. I think of the jealousy factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I would say if you're dating a guy who's acting like I was in that case, run.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a lack of maturity.
Yeah.
Like I felt really, really bad about that later because I was mean to her. And I was, you know, I was judging her because of that. And I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's definitely true. There are people who will hold it against you if, you know, you're not a virgin when you get married. But those people...
It should be up to that person in the relationship to leave that relationship.
Weed them out.
Like, I understand the stigma, like, just on a personal level. Like, I feel like when I lose my virginity or whatever, I'd want it to be with another virgin, almost. But, like, I don't think... Like, so I almost understand that, but not in the long-term relationship sense.
Right. If it's a good long-term relationship, then you...
That shouldn't matter.
You have self-respect, but you also respect each other, mm-hmm. and they accept you for who you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, but anyway, so that was number 14. Number 15, I refuse to continue the spread of STDs, whether I know I am infected or not.
Sounds like the opening to, like, a horror film or something.
STDs, the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Well,
I mean, that's
it's
good. Get tested.
Yeah. Like, that's easy and free.
The thing about this one is whether I know I'm infected or not.
I know,
like, that's a huge scare tactic.
Yeah.
But
that's like when I
it could
was,
be anyone. You have STDs.
It's kind of silly to have on here because who wouldn't? Like, who's out there thinking, I don't know, I kind of want to spread STDs. You know, like, there was this one question about, you know, not putting my hopes and dreams for the future at rest, and I've always really wanted to spread STDs. It's always been a goal of mine. Okay. Number 16. I refuse to disrespect others' physical boundaries or limitations.
That's good. That's great.
Yeah.
I accept that.
Okay. Number 17. I refuse to allow myself to think that a temporary relationship is worth the long-term consequences.
What?
Okay, repeat that.
I refuse to allow myself to think that a temporary relationship is worth the long-term consequences.
It said, I refuse to allow myself to think
that a temporary relationship
is worth the long-term thinking consequences.
So dating someone that you know that you're not going to date for forever, that you're not going to be with in the long run, don't...
Is this implying, like, having sexual relations with someone who you're not going to have a long-term relationship with?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you may end up having a child with.
Oh.
You may have long-term consequences, like having a one-night stand.
Yeah, this is important.
It's like saying, like, meeting somebody when you're out at a bar or dancing or something, and one-night stand that you end up getting pregnant from, or you end up getting an STD from. It's another one of those, like, think about the long-term consequences of things. Mm-hmm. And it's not a bad thing, but...
That's healthy, but...
It's just repeating. It's just a wordy
worded
repeat.
It differently.
I refuse to allow myself to think.
Well, they're all I refuse to.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, but, like, I mean, if you're...
Okay.
That's so far.
18. I refuse to enter marriage with unnecessary baggage from past relationships.
I mean, unnecessary.
I mean, I agree with that, but not in the sense that they're thinking.
Yeah, they're thinking, like, you don't want to be a chewed piece of gum.
Or a worn shoe.
Yeah,
but I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going to think about the relationship I had as an 18-year-old or 17-year-old when I'm, like, I'm not going to let anything that happened there affect me.
Yeah.
In other relationships, I don't know. Like, don't...
Okay. All right, number 19. I refuse to let a relationship based on infatuation go too far physically or emotionally.
Dude, that's just the same thing they've been saying this whole time.
Number 20, I refuse to expose my body to STDs.
You can't help that sometimes, man.
But what
drinking
if
I'm... from a drinking fountain?
Depends on the drinking fountain.
Sitting on a public toilet.
Yeah. I refuse to think that sex is love and love is sex.
Hey, well, I mean, in some cases it can be, though. Like, in some cases it's healthy for a couple to be intimate with one another, and it helps them, like, understand each other more, I guess.
No, I totally agree with that. Sex isn't always about love.
I mean, it isn't always, but it can be.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it totally can be, but it isn't always about love, and I almost think that that works against this thing, because sex isn't... I mean, what it's trying to say is don't... Just because you think you love someone, don't have sex with them.
Well, it could be, I refuse to think that doing laundry for someone is love, and that love is doing laundry for someone.
But you could be doing laundry for someone because you love them, or you could just be doing laundry for fun.
Who does that?
Because laundry's fun.
When I'm stressed, I'll do the laundry. Like, with my room.
So you're not stressed very often, are you?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Okay. I think 21's kind of a confusing thing, because, like what you said, Shaylee, that sex isn't love... is part of the rationale for people that just go around casual sex.
That question could backfire
on an abstinence quiz.
Oh, totally.
Or abstinence contract, so I don't know about that. But I mean, this is in those situations, and you'll probably face this at some point. Like, you remember that little, I want to see you poop.
Every time we take Winston out.
And,
oh my gosh.
Where the little dog is looking up and going,
I feel so bad.
If you love me, you'll do it.
That's what it's getting at.
It's that kind of guilt thing that...
Which is hilarious, because they're employing the same sort of tactics in this abstinence quiz, but whatever.
You think?
Yes.
If you love yourself, you'll not do it? Okay, maybe. All right, number 22.
Or if you love your future husband or wife, you won't do it.
Number 22, I refuse to let anyone push my physical limits or boundaries that I've set.
They already stated that, but I still think that's...
All right. Thumbs up.
It's a little funny.
Number 23, I refuse to allow drugs or alcohol change... I refuse to allow drugs or alcohol to change my decision or behavior about sexual abstinence.
You can't control that. Like, if you're at a party and you're drinking alcohol or doing drugs, your mental stability won't be the same, and you could make irrational decisions.
It's saying don't do drugs or alcohol. Because you'll think
about sex. On an abstinence quiz, that's irrelevant.
It's just...
Yeah.
Okay. Number 24, I refuse to use my body to get attention from the opposite sex. It says the opposite sex, Shaylee.
Well, that's... I can agree with that, then.
So it's encouraging...
It's definitely encouraging same-sex attraction.
Oh, you can't say same-sex attraction.
John Hamer says no.
Yeah, that means you're a bigot, according to John Hamer.
John Hamer says no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can't say that?
Yeah, John Hamer says
no.
And you cannot be president of the LGBT rainbow kids at your school.
If I say same-sex attraction?
If you say same-sex attraction, that's part of the out-group's designation. It's a Christian right terminology, according to John Hamer.
Then what do you say instead? Girls are hot, with like a Z at the end of girls?
No.
Maybe. Not really. But we're saying tongue-in-cheek that this is encouraging homoerotic dress, but... So don't dress slutty. I refuse to dress slutty.
Like, I should be wearing a little white T-shirt with my sundress right now, kind of a thing.
I guess. I don't know.
That's the Mormon way. But I mean, you have to wear white T-shirts
under
everything.
It depends on what you call slutty, because you could be wearing completely normal clothing, but people can still have thoughts about you that are, like,
Yeah. This is saying use your body, so it could be...
Your body is a temple.
Like, don't be a stripper.
Yeah. Okay. Number 25. I refuse to disappoint my parents.
Oh, wow.
That's really what it says. I didn't just make that
wow.
up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's... I'd be surprised if anyone circled that unless they were...
I mean... okay.
You'd be surprised if anybody refuses to disappoint their parents.
I mean, you know? here's what I think about that. I wouldn't want to disappoint you, and I wouldn't want to disappoint Mom.
Of course.
But I'm also not going to let...
You just won't tell us. You just wouldn't tell us.
Not that I wouldn't tell you. It's that I wouldn't... I probably would. I mean, like, I don't think... It's just that I don't... What am I trying to say? Like, I don't think...
I know. Often.
Thanks. I don't think that the approval of your parents should be what you're striving to become. Like, not... I'm not... like, for example, I don't think that everything that my mom wants me to do is healthy for me, personally. And so I don't think that saying that you should only strive to please your parents is a good thing, because as much as they love you, they don't know exactly what is good for you. And
false.
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 I'm not saying that in a way... I'm not...
You're grounded.
What? You know what I'm trying to say, though.
Yeah.
Like... If
you got to live life for yourself and not for your parents, like you can't be living for your parents' approval.
Yeah,
that's the ultimate standard that you go by.
Yeah, you shouldn't be going by that as an ultimate standard. Like I definitely,
it's
like,
still good to want your parents' approval, but if
it is low on this list. I mean, it's like number 25 out of 27.
But I mean, it's also it's on an abstinence contract.
It's suggesting that if you have sex, you're going to disappoint your parents.
Yeah, which.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. All right, so it's another one of those guilt-based questions, and that's what you're responding against. You don't like the guilt-based stuff. Number 26, I refuse to change my physical limits or boundaries no matter how much I think I love the other person.
This kind of thing has been stated the whole entire test. Yeah.
So it's redundant.
Yes.
Okay, we got one more redundancy. Redundant. Number 27, I refuse to make a decision about sex without considering the long-term consequences.
That could have easily summed up everything. We
covered that several times. Okay, then number 28.
Mm-hmm.
Make up one of your own.
What did they not cover?
And do it in the form of a question.
I'd like to see if people circled that last one, I'd like to see what they came up with. That'd be interesting.
I'd like to see what you come up with. What are there any reasons that you think are good reasons for abstinence that weren't covered in that list?
For abstinence?
This is an abstinence contract, or however you want to word it.
I mean, they already said the thing about peer pressure, but I'm also going to say, I refuse to let the opinions of others sway me one way or another. Which, I mean, kind of goes with the peer pressure thing, and it goes with the I refuse theme, so bonus points to me. But, like, I'm not gonna let other people think I'm a slut for making out with people or having sex with people, and I'm not going to let them think that I'm a prude for not having sex with people or making out with people.
You can't control what they think.
I can't control what they think, and so I'm not going to let that bother me.
Okay.
And so that's I refuse to base my own actions off of the opinions of others.
All right.
Standards.
Yeah. What about you?
I mean, they kind of said a lot in that, and a lot of redundant stuff. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
If you don't have one, you don't have to force
one. Really,
okay.
Yeah.
So, by signing this contract, here, I'm gonna get out my pin and prick your skin so we've got some blood.
Some blood, okay.
Ow, you need to say ow.
Ow.
Woohoo!
You liked the prick with the...
Oh, yeah,
it's I'm getting blood, so I can sign your name. You're so macabre. All right, by signing this contract, I Yeah, and yeah.
Yeah.
Recognize that I have been taught and now know the consequences of premarital sexual activity and therefore have committed to the following. You write down the ones that you like.
Have been taught?
Wait, yeah, I have a question. So...
No, you just gotta sign it. And then signature, date, and then the quote at the bottom. Abstinence is not about missing out. It's about holding out for something better.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. All right. Say what you want to say.
So, I'm wondering if they have like an abstinence curriculum. Do they actually talk about the consequences of having sex and like about all that stuff? Or the like, do they cover? Like, what do they cover in that? Is it just abstinence? Just like don't have sex. Otherwise, this will happen, and this will happen, and this will happen. Or do they, like, talk about other things?
I don't know. This is what Rachel told me, because I asked her what happened, and she said... I asked her what her daughter and her friend thought about it, and she said that they think it's inappropriate that this teacher, in particular, is just preaching her church opinions instead of just health information.
Mm. But for that state... Like, aren't they required, like, the school's required to teach
abstinence only? Yeah, is Utah abstinence only? Indiana's abstinence only.
It's required to teach abstinence only?
It's not required.
I mean, abstinence is required to be taught.
Yeah, but you can teach other things as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think you're allowed to bring in contraception.
All
right. Oh, yeah, no, you can't.
So we've been recording for 45 minutes.
Wow.
What do you think about this?
It's late.
It is late.
Yeah,
but... And maybe the room is cooled down by now.
Yay!
All right. Love you, girls.
Love you.
Signing off for Toon Disney.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, that is a...
Blast from the past.
Blast from the past.
Too big of a blast.
Hello?
This is Hillary.
Matthew. Ryan.
Carol.
Keith.
Ashley.
And I like to play bingo online while listening to Infants on Thrones.
You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com.
And if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes.
I did.
Anyone for the closing prayer?
So there's one more thing I want to ask you about. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to other girls your age if their dads came to them and said, here's a game called Cards Against Humanity, let's play with your grandma?
That was the best moment of my life. Are you kidding me? That was so great.
That was the first time when Nani say the F word.
Yeah. when Nani put down the card that was Pac-Man uncontrollably guzzling cried.
Yeah.
Naughty, put that down.
Yeah.
And Emma's awesome.
So would you recommend that to every person to play Cards Against Humanity?
You have to have a really cool dad.
Aww. I think this is that what he... That's
what he wanted.
At.
That's what he wanted to hear, yeah.
My advice, if you're close with your family, and you love your family, and your family is accepting and forgiving...
forgiving.
Have at it. Have fun. But if you get uncomfortable with uncomfortable topics...
John Hammond says no.
I would
don't let them...
I would love to play...
Don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be.
What is that from?
Frozen.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Conceal, don't feel. Don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go.
Let it... Oh, that's Let It Go?
Yeah, it's Let It Go.
Oh, that makes sense.
I've seen that movie too many times.
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.